إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوة وأخوات في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Al-Muharrar fi al-Hadith by Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Hadi alayhi rahmatullah وعن عاصم بن دمرة عن علي رضي الله عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي قبل العصر 4 ركعات يفصل بينهن بالتسليم على الملائكة المقربين ومن تبعهم من المسلمين والمؤمنين رواه أحمد والترمذي وحسنه وعاصم وثقه أحمد وابن المديني وابن خزيمة وغيرهم فتكلم فيه غير واحد من الأئمة. Now this hadith of Asim bin Damra is talking about observing 4 rakah before Salatul Asr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as containing this hadith is said to observe 4 rakah before Salatul Asr, that he will separate between them the tasleen ala al-malaika by giving salutation to the angels al-muqarrabin, those that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ تَبِعَهُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and those who follow them among the believers, among the Muslims, والمؤمنين and the believers, رواه أحمد والترمذي. الإمام أحمد reported this likewise at الترمذي وحسن, and الترمذي said the hadith is awesome. وعاصم وثقه أحمد, عاصم بن دمرة is said to be ثقة by الإمام أحمد. وابن المديني likewise al-Imam Ibn al-Madini, Ali Ibn al-Madini wa Ibn Khuzayma and Ibn Khuzayma wa ghayruhum and some others. وَتَكَلَّمَ فِيهِ غَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ الْأَئِمَّةِ, and more than one Imam also disparaged him, just as these Imams have recommended him. Some Imams also disparaged him, and this is why the scholars they differ concerning the authenticity of this hadith. That is, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed 4 rakah before Asr. So scholars differ on the hadith. However, Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah authenticated the hadith. So wallahu alam, and this is the way their opinion. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رحم الله مران صلى أربعا قبل العصر. Apart from this hadith of Ali talking about the practice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning observing four rak'ah before Asr, it was also reported from Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, رحم الله مران صلى أربعا قبل العصر. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى have mercy on the one who observed four rak'ah before Asr. So this is a qawl, a statement. That is that of Ibn Umar is a statement, while that of Ali radiallahu anhu is a practice. So we have what? Amal and we have Qawl. So this Al-Imam Ahmad al-Potter is as well, Abu Dawood and Abu Dawood of Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Khuzaymah fi Sahihi in his Sahih. والترمذي أن الترمذي also reported this وقال حسن غريب. He said it is حسن and it is غريب. So the hadith that he says is حسن, then it means the hadith is something that if it has other shades, so it is to be corroborated. Then if it is غريب, that it means it has what? One shin according to what the Sheikh has seen. وَوَهَا أَبُو زُرْعَةَ رُوَاتَهُ. Abu Zur'a said that the ruwat, the reporters, so they are what? They are weak. Now, these scholars also differ on the authenticity. So Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah authenticated it as well. Some scholars, they have the opinion that the hadith is not authentic because of the presence of Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn al-Musanna or Muslim Muhammad bin Mihran, as some will call him. So it is because of this that some assert that the hadith is not authentic. Why some look at the various chains of the hadith and various sources of the hadith to say the hadith is authentic? Wallahu a'lam, the hadith is what is authentic. So if we look at the action and the statement, we can say it is a sunnah to observe four rak'ah before Asr. Only that we will not regard the four rak'ah as part and parcel of the rawatib. So the rawatib are four before Dhuhr, two after. So, or two before, two after. So then two after Maghrib, two after Isha. As for four before, four after, the other hadith, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever prays four rak'ah before and four rak'ah after, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prevent such a person from entering al-fire. So if we want to look at it, we say maybe the four before will be what? The ratiba. Two out of the four after will be what? Ratiba. So the remaining two will be what? Additional. So in order to agree with the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar and that of Umm Habiba radiallahu anhuma. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال هنا نصلي على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ركعتين بعد غروب الشمس قبل صلاة المغرب. Anas bin Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, said we used to observe two rak'ah after sunset before Salatul Maghrib during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فقلت له أكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى هما قال كان يرانا نصليهما فلم يأمرنا ولم ينهنا رواه مسلم He said that the Messenger of Allah, the reporter said, I asked him that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Akana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did the Messenger of Allah observe the two rak'ah? Called, he said, Kana yarana musallihima. He said, he will see us observing them. فَلَمْ يَأْمُرْنَا وَلَمْ يَنْهَنَا He did not command us to do that and he did not prohibit us from doing it. Meaning he did not make it compulsory on us, nor did he prohibit it. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved it. So this will be sunnah taqririyya, that is approval of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وعن عبد الله بن مغفل المزني عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال From عبد الله the son of مغفل المزني عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم From the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم قال He said صلوا قبل صلاة المغرب صلوا قبل صلاة المغرب Observe صلاة before صلاة المغرب قال في الثالثة He said and the third, لمن شاء for whom we use كراهية أن يتخذ الناس سنة that is because it is tested that people will take it سنة رواه البخاري الإمام البخاري reported this وابن حبان and ابن حبان وزاد ابن حبان added أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى قبل المغرب ركعتين. He observed two rak'ah before Maghrib. Now, so when we look at we have Amr here that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded the people to do that. So this Amr will be the istihbab, is that it's recommended, not that it's what compulsory. Not that what it is compulsory, it is recommended. Then if you look at the addition of Ibn Ibn, he said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also prayed two rak'ah before Maghrib. This should be what? The practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can say from this that observing two rak'ah before Maghrib is established as a statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is also established as an approval of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is also established as a practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we say it is mashru', that it is something that is allowed in the deen to observe it. Messenger of Allah will do that. As Anas radiallahu anhu says, they will also do that, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not prevent them from doing it. Then, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another hadith of Abdullah bin Mughaffal, commanded them to do that. But the command is not command of being obligatory; is the command of being a recommended act. So, it is good. When you are in the masjid, that you observe what? You observe two rak'ah before Maghrib. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Liman sha'a, for whoever wills. So meaning is not compulsory. Though he commanded, but the command will be taken to mean a recommendation, because he said, Liman sha'a. Then if we look at the statement karahiyatan yattakhidha an-nasu sunnah, that is for detestation that the people take it as sunnah. Now so that the people will not take it as if it is sunnah ratiba. We know we have sunnah ratiba turaka after salatu al-maghrib. Sunnah ratiba turaka after salatu al-maghrib. Then we have two rak'ah after Salatul Isha. two before Zuhr, two after, or four before Zuhr, two after. So, and you have what? We have the Raka'at al-Fajr, two Raka'at before Fajr. So these are the Ar-Rawatib, these are the Rawatib. So when we are encouraged to observe two Raka'at before Maghrib, this is not Sunnah Ratibah. And that's why he said what? For the temptation that the people take it as what? The people take it as Sunnah, that is as Sunnah Ratibah. What is ordinary Sunnah, because it's something that is what? Recommended, but not Sunnah Ratibah. That statement, Liman Shah, shows it is not compulsory. Yet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded. But because he said what? Liman Shah, it should not compulsory. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also observed it. So when Anas said that he will see us doing it, he did not command us, nor did he watch, nor did he prohibit us from doing it. It shows that the Messenger of Allah did not make it compulsory, and it did not stop us from doing it. So possibly he was not aware of the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sallu qabla al-Maghrib, so that you should pray before Salatu al-Maghrib. Maybe he was not aware of that statement. That was why he said what? Walam ya'murna. He did not command us. This, however, is not the same thing as Tahiyatul Masjid. You know that when we enter the Masjid and we have ablution, it is Sunnah to observe Tahiyatul Masjid. Some scholars, they see it as what? Wajib to do that. The Tahiyatul Masjid, according to some scholars, is wajib. But most of the scholars, they see it as what? Sunnah. They see it as Sunnah Mustahabba, not Sunnah Wajiba. So the compulsory is the five daily prayers, not the compulsory. So these are what the compulsory Salah. So, but Tahiyatul Masjid, this is not compulsory according to most scholars. Some see it as compulsory. So if you enter the Masjid, you observe Tahiyatul Masjid, then you can also observe the two Raka before Maghrib, if you still have what time. If the Iqama has not been made, you can still observe the two Raka before Maghrib. But if you enter the Masjid first, what you are expected to do is to observe Tahiyatul Masjid, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحْدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدِ فَلَا يَجْلِسْ حَتَّى يُصَلِّيَ رَكَعَتَيْنِ. When one of you enters the Masjid, he should not sit until he has observed two rakah. This is any time you enter the Masjid, according to the Shafi'iyya. So of the opinion that Tahiyatul Masjid should be observed when you enter the Masjid, any time of the day. Even if it is within the time that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said we should not observe Salah. So this should be exempted from that general prohibition that you should not observe Salah at particular periods. So this will be what? Exception. But let's assume that you enter at the time that you are not prevented from observing Salah. You enter at that time, so you observe Tahiyatul Masjid. Now, we have what is also called Sunnatul Wudu. The Sunnah, the two rakah that you observe when you perform ablution. Somebody performs ablution, whether in his house or anywhere, it is recommended that he performs two rakah after the ablution. Now, somebody performs ablution outside the Masjid, for instance. He comes inside the Masjid. He wants to perform Tahiyatul Masjid. He wants to perform Sunnah of Wudu. And he also wants to perform 2 rakah before Maghrib. Six rakah now, two, because of ablution, two because of Tahiyatul Masjid, two because of what? The Sunnah before Maghrib, do not Ratiba. So which one is he going to do first? Which one will he do first? Question. Which one should the person do first? He has read the hadith that إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحْدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدْ فَلَا يَجْلِسْ حَتَّى يُصَلِّيَ رَكَعَتِهِ. When one of you enters the masjid, he should not sit until he observes 2 rakah. If he enters the masjid, he shouldn't sit until he has observed 2 rakah. Then he has also read the hadith that it is good that when you perform ablution, this is not restricted to the masjid. It's not restricted when you want to enter the masjid. When you perform ablution, it is sunnah for you to watch, to observe 2 rakah. He has read that. Then he has also had the hadith, Sallu qabla al-maghrib, Sallu qabla al-maghrib. And he said, in the third time, liman sha'a fa hum yus, for whoever we use. So which one is he going to do first? Tahiyatul Masjid. Because it's entering the Masjid. Because it's entering the Masjid. So he does Tahiyatul Masjid first. Then after that, he does what? Ablution? He does that of ablution. Then after that, he does that of what? The Sunnah before Maghrib, which is not Ratiba. So he arranges it this way. Now, can he just do 2 rakah of Tahiyatul Masjid and have the intention of the 2 rakah before Maghrib and that of ablution? He has the intention, but it's not the meaning, just making the watch with just 2 rakah. But he adds the intention of the 2 other salawat. Can he do that? Yes, he can do it. Yes, he can do it. But he will not have the same reward as the one who had observed 6 rakah. 2 for Tahiyatul Masjid, 2 for Sunnatul Wudu, and 2 for, 2 for what? Sunnah of Maghrib. He will not have the same reward. Because this one, the one that observes the 3, has intention and also has what? Action. So if he gets 10 rewards, for instance, for the first one, which is Tahiyatul Masjid, he's going to get another 10 rewards for Sunnatul Al-Udu. He's going to get another 10 rewards for Sunnah before Maghrib. And this may be multiplied, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said. So, but if you observe just 2 rakah Tahiyatul Masjid, then he has the nafila, the intention of Sunnah to do to it. He also has the intention of Sunnah 2 rakah before Maghrib to it. So let's assume that asana that he has there, intended, that is Tahiyatul Masjid plus the action, he gets what? 10 rewards. And he's going to get 2 other rewards, correct? With the intention. Because whoever has intention of doing something, but he doesn't do it, is going to get what? 1 reward for that intention. If he does it, he's going to get 10 rewards, correct? So he will get 1 reward for the intention of the Sunnatul Wudu, because he intends it, only that he does not carry it out separately. Is that clear? So then he's going to get another 1 reward for the Sunnah before Maghrib, making 12. But the one who does them separately, so he has what? Intention and action. So each one will be what? 10, then which will be multiplied as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated. Now it is easy for us to say you have two intentions in one action, because these are what they are, what nawafi, or one is compulsory, the other is what is nafila. But if they are both compulsory, so you will not do what, the intention will not be enough. You have to do it. The intention will not be enough. So this is important. Somebody who is owing Ramadan, is owing some days in Ramadan, and he wants to fast 30 Shawwal. Can he fast the Ramadan, pay back the meeting Ramadan, and also have the intention of 30 Shawwal? Can he do that? Huh? But you won't get the reward. You only get what? Intention. Because Ramadan is compulsory, he has to do Ramadan. So if he now pays back the Ramadan and he pays what he has the intention for, that he won't get the this thing, what's it called? Because Ramadan is, so he will not get full reward for the state that he shall want, because he does not do it. How this is clear? So likewise, let's say 13, 14, 15, and it coincides with Monday. Can one have the two intentions together? Huh? Yes. But one would watch intention. You get the reward for the intention, then the other one would watch. The other one would be full reward. وعن زرارة بن أبي أوفى أن عائشة سئلت عن صلاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في جوف الليل. زرارة بن أبي أوفى said عائشة رضي الله عنها was asked concerning the prayer of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم at night. فقال she said كان يصلي العشاء في جماعة. You observe صلاة العشاء in جماعة. ثم يرجع إلى أهله. Then he will go back to his family. فيركع أربع ركعات. And he will observe four ركع. ثم يأوي إلى فراشه. Then after that, he will go to his bed. وينام and he will sleep. رواه أبو داود. أبو داود reported. وفي سماع زرارة من عائشة نظر. There is a kind of question mark, so to say, in the report of the hearing of Zurara from Aisha radiallahu anha. Wa anha, from Aisha radiallahu anha, qalat, she said, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يخفف الركعتين اللتين قبل صلاة الصبح حتى إني لأقول أقرأ بأم الكتاب أم لا. متفق عليه. عائشة رضي الله عنها said the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم يخفف الركعتين, he would lessen, so to say, that he will not prolong the two rak'ah, the two rak'ah before Salat al-Subh, you will not prolong them. حتى إني لأقول, to the extent that I will say, أقرأ بأم الكتاب أم لا. Did he recite Surah al-Fatiha or not? Meaning, it will be very brief. or they will be very brief. The two rak'ah of Rak'at al-Fajr will be very brief. To the extent that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha would doubt him if he actually recited Surah al-Fatiha or not, so that he is will make the two rak'ah very snappy. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قرأ في ركعة الفجر قل يا أيها الكافرون وقل هو الله أحد. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم recited in ركعة الفجر, that is in addition to سورة الفاتحة, he recited قل يا أيها الكافرون, and he also recited قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. He recited both. And we know that in Witru, in the first two rak'ah, he will recite سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. In the second rak'ah, the first rak'ah he will recite سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. In the second rak'ah he will recite قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. In the third rak'ah he will recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Now there is this addition of قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ in another report, which some scholars said is not authentic. Some authenticated it. And that's why you see some people, when they are praying the third rak'ah in Witru, the third rak'ah, they will recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, and they will also recite قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. But the more authentic report is to recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ alone. That is the more authentic report. Or if not the authentic report. So in the case of Rak'at al-Fajri, it will recite Surah al-Fatiha most of the time. For at times, he will recite قُلْ أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ in addition to Surah Al-Fatiha in the first rak'ah. Then in the second rak'ah, he will recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. So this is what the report of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه. وَنْ إِبْنِ عَبَّاسٍ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ from Abdullah bin Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam كان يقرأ في ركعتي الفجر في الأولى منهما قلوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا. That is the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 136, that you recite that verse after the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. والآية التي في البقرة وفي الآخرة منهما آمنا بالله واشهد بأننا مسلمون in Surah Al Imran verse 52 رواه مسلم. He is also reported by Muslim. This is reported by Muslim. The first one, that of Abu Huraira reciting قُلْ أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ أَمْ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ is also reported by Muslim. So the one of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma is also reported by Muslim. And we have that of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she would doubt whether he recited Surah Al-Fatiha. She would doubt whether he recited Surah Al-Fatiha because of how quickly the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed these two rak'ah. So if you look at this, the report of Aisha, the report of Abu Huraira, we look at this report, we say what? We say that you can do either or any of the three, so to say. You say that you make do with Surah Al-Fatiha, or you recite Surah Al-Fatiha and قُلْ أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ in the first rak'ah, then قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ in the second rak'ah. Or you do that of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma by reciting the Surah, by reciting Surah Al-Fatiha and verse 186 of Surah Al-Baqarah and that of Surah Al-Imran verse 52. So whichever one does is okay. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى ركعتي الفجر اضطجع على شقي الأيمن رواه البخاري. Now the practice of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is that after قيام الليل we know he will observe 11 raka as we have lunch, he will observe 11 raka most of the time and he will lengthen the salah as we have lunch. Even the sujood in each of the raka, as it is authentic from some of the reports, it will be in a time that is enough to recite 50 verses. That is the sujood of each of these raka that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would want to observe. So it will be so long that one can read 50 verses in each of the sajda. So look at the time that it take you towards to recite 50 verses. Just in what? In the sujood. Messenger of Allah will take that time to do sujood. So it will lengthen the salah. When Aisha radiallahu anha said what you observe four rakah, فَلَا تَسْأَلْ أَنْ حُسْنِهِنَّ وَتُولِهِنَّ. He said, don't ask about the goodness of them and what? And the length. So if the sujood alone is something that, a time that we take you to do us to recite 50 verses, so what about the qiyam? So after doing all this, then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would observe rakat al-fajri when the adhan is made. Then after that, he will now lie on his right side. He will lie on his right side. وَعَنْ عَيْشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا صَلَّى رَكَعْتَيِ الْفَجْرِ. When the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم observed the two rakah of Fajr, اتَّجَعَ عَلَى شِقِّهِ الْأَيْمَنِ, he would lie down on his right side. رواه البخاري. Imam al-Bukhari reported this. So why would he do this? So scholars have said maybe for him to take rest from the qiyam and the sujood that he'd been doing all night. So he would like to rest. He will be waiting for the mu'adhin to come and call him for Salatul Subhi. And that is also contained in Sahih Muslim in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. So who say that إِذَا سَكَتَ الْمُؤَذِّن بِالْأُولَى, if the mu'adhin was silent after the first adhan, he said he will get up and he will observe two rakah. Then he will lie on his watch, lie on his right side, until the mu'adhin will come to call him to watch, to the prayer. One may ask, he said, if the mu'adhin was silent in the first adhan, how many adhan do we have for Fajr? Two, we have two adhan. So if you have two adhan of Fajr, which one is the first one, which one is the second one? Which one is the first adhan and which one is the second adhan? The Iqama is the second adhan, and the one we call the second adhan is the first adhan of Fajr. Because the question is, how many adhan do we have for Fajr? The Iqama is the second adhan, while the fourth adhan is the one that will be made after which the Raka'at al-Fajri will be observed. If you look at it from that hadith of Aisha, he said, if the Mu'adhin was silent after the fourth adhan, he will get up. So he will get up and you observe what? You observe two rakah. How is it like? So then you lie down on his side until what? Until the Mu'adhin will come to call you for the prayer. So why do we say the Iqama is the second adhan? This is because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, بَيْنَ كُلِّ أَذَانَيْنِ صَلَاةٍ. Between two adhan, there is salah. بَيْنَ كُلِّ أَذَانَيْنِ صَلَاةٍ. Between two adhan, there is what? Salah. So the fourth adhan is clear. The second adhan is the Iqama. The second adhan is what? Is Iqama. So and that's why scholars will always refer to the Iqama as what? Adhan. They also call it Adhan, the way they call the first Adhan. So what about the fourth Adhan that is made before the one that you are now saying it is the first Adhan of Fajr? What do we call that? This, according to most scholars, they refer to it as what? Adhan Layl, the Adhan of the night. Contrary to Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah consider that as what? The fourth adhan. So, and that is why he will say that you do a salatu khair min an-nawm in that adhan. Because we have the hadith that a salatu khair min an-nawm is in the fourth adhan. The text says that a salatu khair min an-nawm is the fourth adhan. So the Sheikh believed that the fourth adhan is the one that is first made, so that is where you are going to do a salat khumna no, not the second adhan. But when we go by the hadith, look at the hadith critically and watch the scholars over ages have been upon, what the Sheikh will refer to as the second adhan is what they call what? The fourth adhan of Fajr. So what he referred to as the fourth adhan of is what? Is called Adhan al-Layl. And that is clear from the hadith that said what? Inna bilalan yu'adhinu bil-layl. Inna bilalan yu'adhinu bil-layl. Bilal will call his Adhan at night. Fakulu washrabu. Continue to eat and drink hatta yu'adhina ibn Umm Maktum. Till Amr ibn Umm Maktum called what? Called his Adhan. Hatta yu'adhina ibn Umm Maktum. So Allahu A'lam, the majority's opinion is the correct opinion on this matter. That is, the first Adhan is what would ordinarily call what? The second Adhan. Why the second the second adhan, what we call the second adhan, is the first adhan of Fajr. How do you explain? إن شاء الله ويستطيع سبحانك لا بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. نعم.
Can you also get that in the application of the
Okay, if I get the question, the imam is doing the khutbah and somebody is interpreting at the same time. Huh? Okay. Well, wallahu alam, ordinarily, when the imam is doing the khutbah, so one should concentrate and listen to the khutbah of the imam. So if the imam is delivering the khutbah, and there is somebody who is translating in another language, maybe standing by the side of the imam, also talking, this will not be okay. But if the person is making signs, this may be overlooked, because the person is not talking, is only giving signs. So it's just like somebody who is doing something, maybe somebody is talking in the masjid, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا قُلْتَ لِصَاحِبِكَ وَالْإِمَامُ يَخْتُبُ and sit فَقَدْ نَظَرْتَ. When you tell the person beside you where the imam is delivering khutbah, يوم الجمعة and the day of Jumu, and sit, that he is the quiet, the silent, فَقَدْ نَظَرْتَ, you have also committed an error. But if you give the person a sign, maybe you do like this for instance, so can we consider that as lahu? So this may be over. So the person that is giving sign, interpreting what the imam is saying to the deaf, so this will be overlooked. But if he's also talking, so this is what, this is not something that is correct. And that's why scholars will say, if the imam wants what he's saying to be interpreted in another language, maybe that should be done after the salah. So maybe the jama'ah, they can wait so that the message given by the imam can be passed. Now they've concluded the salah. But for the person to be interpreting simultaneously with the imam, this does not have evidence. So rather, the imam should speak in the language that the people understand. He should speak in the language that majority of those in the masjid understand. Or he says some Arabic and what? Another language, he interprets by himself in the language that the people also understand. But is it a must that the khutbah be delivered in Arabic? It's not a must. What is compulsory is for the message to be passed. But the verses of the Quran should be quoted in Arabic as they are. Can one interpret? So the hadith preferably quoted in Arabic, then one interprets. But for you to address the people who pass the message in Arabic, this is not compulsion. But if one does it and also translates after that, this is what? This is okay. So, wallahu a'lam. Now, can the people praying at home observe jamu bayna salatain, combine the two surah, combine two surah, Zuhr and Asri or Maghrib and Isha, if it is raining? Can they do that if they are praying at home? This is not permissible. So combining salah because of rain is only meant for those who are in the masjid, not meant for those who are not in the masjid. So those who are not in the masjid, they pray at the right time. They pray at the right time. Those who come to the masjid after they finish the salah, they come to the masjid after they finish the salah. Maybe they are two or three or four or more. So, and they've done the jamr, the combination between Maghrib and Isha, for instance. So, can they also do their own jamr? Yes, they can do their own jungle. What if it is one person? They come to the masjid, they've done jungle in the masjid. Can he do jungle? Scholars differ on this. Most scholars, they have the opinion that he can't do jungle. So you should go back home. And when it is time for the salah, you should watch. You should observe the salah. If it is Isha, if it is Asr, you should observe it. But some of the opinion that since he has made them inside the masjid, he is also there. So why did I need the benefit of combining two salah? Wallahu alam, I think this is Wilya. Wallahu alam. I thought. Now if I get the question well, that is the rain is falling, is consistent, maybe almost every day is falling, so can we be combining Zuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha? Now with respect to Zuhr and Asr, I think we've talked about this, how majority of the scholars do not support combining Zuhr and Asr because of rain. We have talked about this. Now, but the way their opinion is that you can combine Zuhr and Asr if it rains. That's the way their opinion. Now, let's use Maghrib as an example. It is raining almost every day during the time of Maghrib till Isha. Can we combine? Yes, we can be combining if it rains. If it rains almost every day. So there is nothing like Saddu Dariya in this, because it is established that you can combine between Zuhr and Maghrib and Isha. So it is only the Hanafis that do not support this, as we have said. So they believe you can only combine in Arafah and Muzdalifah. In Arafah and Muzdalifah. Apart from this, any hadith that the Hanafis see talking about Jamr, they take it to mean what? Al-Jamu Suri. Al-Jamu Suri. Meaning, it would delay the first salat till it ends time. Then, you will observe it. By the time he finishes observing it, the next salat is coming. That is, if it is Maghrib, for instance, it is delayed till the last time, the end of his time. Then, if observed, then Isha follows. So if you look at it, you say it's Jamr. But if you look at it, you see what? It is Jamr Suri. That is imaginary combination. He has really, or he has actually observed each salah at his day, at his time. The scholar said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we combine between Zuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha, and Abdullah ibn Abbas was asked, why would he do this? He said, Arada an la yuhrija ummatahu. He did not want to put his ummah in what? In haraj, in difficulty. Now, if you ask somebody to be washing the end time of Zuhr, so that you observe it, then after that, you now observe Salatu al-Asr, you are putting in more haraj, in more haraj. So that will not be correct. So the view of the Hanafi is not correct. It's not correct. As for the Malikis and the Hanbali, who said you can only combine Maghrib and Isha when it rains, so they do not have what? Clear evidence to you. Because that hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas said what? A deep jungle between Zuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha. So, fi ghayri khawfin wala matar. In the other report, fi ghayri khawfin wala safar. So, the Shafi'i's position is the best as far as that matter is concerned. So, the fact that it happens It rains every day, so one can enjoy it. However, one should be mindful of the difference of opinion among scholars. Not that when it is drizzling, you say, let's do jungle. Scholars who are talking about jungle, look at the way they differ on the matter. It is only drizzling, you are being jungle. Scholars are not talking about drizzling when it's there are just drops of water. If they want to do jungle, no, they don't allow this. They don't allow this. So let us get it right. Allah. On another person. Okay, okay. His own salah? His own salah? His salah. Which one? You mean the after the tawaf? Now the one who is doing umrah on behalf of the person. So if he does tawaf, he finishes the tawaf of umrah, you know, it's sunnah to observe two rak'ah after the tawaf. Can he do it on behalf of the person? Yes, he will do it on his behalf because the salah is attached to what? It's attached to the tawaf. It's part and parcel of the umrah package, so to say. So that doesn't mean that he's praying on his behalf. You know, you don't pray on behalf of somebody. Everybody observes their own prayer. But in this case now, that prayer is attached to what? To the umrah, part and parcel of the umrah. So you do it, Allah. Now, if the phenotype of is the same with the male side down, that means they are starting their stuff from the same place where the males start their own stuff. Is that okay? There's nothing wrong with that. So there's nothing wrong with that. If they are preceding the imam, that is what we say, I hope it's not okay for one to precede the imam. But if they are what? On the same point, with the same level with the ma'mumun, there is no harm in that. Allahu a'lam. No? Now the verse that says, لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ آذَوُوا مُوسَى فَبَرَّأُوا اللَّهُ مِمَّا قَالُوا وَكَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَجِيهًا. What's the meaning of that verse? Now the meaning of the verse is that the Banu Israel, some of them say evil things about Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Take for instance, there was a time they said what? They would do some stupid things. They will do some stupid things like the males bathing naked among themselves. But Prophet Musa will not do this with them. So they will watch, they will speak ill, they will say he was avoiding to take bath with them because he has udra. He has what? Udra. Hamza, Dal, Rota, Tamarbuto, Udra. That it is somebody who has problem with his proton. That the Yoruba people call asupa or something like that. So that was why he was shy to take bath with them. So this is what Adiya. So they were army Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Likewise, what it was said that Qarun also did when it was said that whenever Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was giving da'wah, calling them to the truth. So because the man was worthy, so he would speak ill of Musa. He would send some people, maybe give some women money to be tarnishing the image of Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with him. So Allah said, what? فَقَطَبْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِ الْأَرْضُ. So we make the earth swallow him and his watch and his house and his wedge. So this is also other. But wallahu alam, the first one that he said he has udra, that goes with that verse more. Wallahu alam. فَبَرَّأُ اللَّهُ مِمَّا قَالُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exonerated him from what they said. Now, Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, one day he was taking his watch as he would do. Then Allah, then he placed his clothes, he took off his clothes and he put them on the rock. And Allah commanded the rock to move. So it was a strange thing. The rock was moving. And you know the way it appeared to Prophet Musa, the rock moving with my clothes on it. So it started chasing the rock. Till the rock got to the place where the people were gathered. So they could be able to see, they could see the hour of Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So they say, so this man did not have what? Udra. So, and the rock stopped. Prophet Musa also took his garment and he started eating the rock. You know the way the small kids will do. Some of the parents, the way they will give, maybe a small boy falls or a small girl falls down now. And she starts crying, or she starts crying. So the parent, the mother for instance, they eat the crab in order to console the... And the small child watch will keep quiet, thinking revenge has been taken from watch. So something like that happened to Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He had forgotten that he was eating a rock because of what happened. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just made the thing happen like that. So at times, what you will not like will happen. It happens at times. Take for instance, a lady may be going at times, and she's properly dressed. And maybe the garment, maybe the cob of a thing will just will be carried away by maybe a breeze, for instance. And people will see her face, for instance. That doesn't mean that what she's sinful. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his grace. This is a test that can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody. So, however, one should be watched, should be careful. Or somebody that should not intend to see, maybe your wife is a munakaba, for instance. Somebody that should not intend to see the face of your wife may see the face of your wife unintentionally. Unintentionally. Maybe just something mistake just happened. So it will be something painful. The lady will not like that somebody sees her face. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may just try one with something like that. Look at the case of the lady during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was suffering from epilepsy. And whenever that thing happened, she will watch, she will uncover a death. People will see her aura. So the lady was not happy with that situation. So she went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to supplicate for her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal her from this sickness. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "In shi'ti da'awtu Allah alaki, wa in shi'ti sabarti wa laki al-jannah." If you will or you wish, I'll supplicate to Allah to watch, to cure you from this or heal you from this. And if you wish, I'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you a jannah with this that you're suffering from. And the lady said, what? But ask me. I'll be patient. Then he said, she said, I have a request. And he requested that Udu'u Allah Allah Takashaf. If me ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whenever this thing happens to me, that I should not uncover myself. So I'm making up a lot of complicated for that. So the point here is that we should not look at why was Prophet Musa made to be seen by the people. Is that a thing of embarrassment? No. We say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may try, may test his servants with something like that. So this wallahu alam appears to be the correct interpretation of that verse. So, and the hadith is reported by Imam Bukhari and someone as well. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last question. Now, if somebody enters the masjid and refuses to observe tahiyyat al-masjid, is it sinful? According to most scholars, it's not sinful. Because the man that asked the Messenger of Allah about the salawat that were composed. So when the Messenger of Allah told him about the five daily prayers, the man said he will not add to that. And the Messenger of Allah said, Aflaha is sadaq. If he sticks to what he has said, then he's successful. So that shows that other salawat are not compulsion. So there will be tatawu'at. There will be what? Tatawu'at. Apart from Salat al-Jumu'ah, that is what? In place of Salat al-Dhuhr on Friday. Then apart from some other salawat that may also, that the scholars also have what different opinion on whether they are compulsion or not. But those salawat are not compulsory, Salat al-Kusuf, Salat al-Tisqa, Qiyam al-Layl, Darawati, and so on and so forth. Those who say they are not compulsory, this is the hadith that we rely on. Even when some of them come with the seizure of Amr command from the Messenger of Allah, it took them to mean what? Not compulsory. But one of the blameworthy, as Imam Ahmad said, why does he pray Salatu Witri, his Rajul Su? It's an evil man. Somebody who doesn't pray watch Witu is an evil, it's an evil man. So that doesn't mean he said his watch is composed. But how can you call yourself a Muslim and you do not observe Salatu and Witri? Salatu Witri. So likewise, not observing the Rawatib. Is a constant practice of somebody that doesn't observe the rawatib, no sunnah before zuhr, no after, sunnah after zuhr, no before fajr, and just fully the compulsory one. So that's not a good sign. So the person can be rebuked for that. But you will say it's sinful. You will not say what is sinful. But it's not a good thing. So Allahu a'lam. Subhanaka la humma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.